hypnotize me or just blow smoke. Man, I'm telling you, when I got committed to God, something happened in my life, and it's going with me every day. Every day it's following me around, and it's encouraging me, and it's blowing my mind. And I've been healed from everything. Man, I've been healed from PTSD. I've been healed from pain and suffering. I've been healed right there. I just gave it to God, got real with Him. Just got real, real with Him. I gave my life to everything but God for 20-something years. And I decided I'm going to give my life to God for real, for a few months at least. You know what I mean? For a few months at least, I can do this. And I just got real with Him. I began to get in the Word, come to service every time, and something started to change. Not on that, but in the inside. And, man, I begin to get healed from everything, and my life is wonderful, and it's going to continue to get better. And that's what I'm here to preach tonight about. My title to my message is Come Alive with Healing and Consistency. You know, so if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. You know, unless you experience something like that, it's hard to have anything to hold on to. So it's hard to stay consistent with believing in God when you're going through all this stuff, when you're full of anxiety and emotions and you're broke and you're out here. Whatever you're doing in life, it's hard for you just to give it up and, okay, I'm going to read the Bible and walk around with God. Somebody I can't see, somebody I can't touch, but I'm supposed to be believing this for a healing. He's going to make my pockets all right. He's going to pay my electric bill. He's going to heal me from cancer. He's going to do all these things for me, and I can't see Him. You know, where's He been the last 10 years? But there's a process. There's a process, and you have to move first. And I'm going to try to explain it the best way I can without just getting too excited and just overdoing it to where it goes over your head. You know what I mean? But I'm excited about God. I just love Him, guys. Then Peter began to speak. Now I really understand that God doesn't show favoritism. Amen. But in every nation, the person who fears Him and does righteousness is acceptable to Him. So everybody's acceptable, is what Peter's saying. It ain't just me or just this one or that one. Everybody's acceptable, but there is a process, the righteousness. You know, and righteousness is not what I thought it was either. It's just, you know, serving God, just building a relationship with God every day. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is our Lord of all. You know the events that took place throughout Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism of John after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil because God was with Him. We are His witnesses. You know, God wants us to be healed. You know, God wants us to be healed. There's 17 different times in the Word of God where He heals congregations, where He heals multitudes. You know, I mean, He goes through and He just heals them all. There's several other times where He just heals individuals. All through the Bible, God is healing people. You know, so it's not, nowhere in the Bible does it say He wants us to be broke or sick or you know, hurting or bones aching. He wants us to rejoice and live life at the fullest. But He wants us to serve Him. Our life has got to please Him. He's got to be pleased with our life in order to bless us, in order to treat us, in order to open them doors for us. Our life has got to be pleasing to Him. And the only way you're going to really find out how to please Him is get in here. Because it's full of knowledge. It tells you things that you never even knew you were supposed to be doing. You know, and they're pretty simple. I mean, you just add them to your everyday life. But I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As Jesus went up from there, two blind men followed Him, shouting, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When He entered the house, the blind men approached Him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I can do this?" See, Jesus wanted to know, do you believe I can do this? And that's what I was saying. There's a belief, and then there's a way to believe. See, you can know something and still not believe something. You can acknowledge something, but if you believe something, it's going to force you to move. You know what I mean? If you believe something in your heart, it's going to force you to do something different, to change something about your life, to change the way you're doing something. You can know something all day long. That don't mean nothing. But when you believe it in your heart, and you, it causes you to do things. He said, "Yes, Lord." They answered him, "Yes, we do believe you." You know, then he touched their eyes, saying, "Let it be done according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. I'm going to jump down to verse 35. Then Jesus went through the town and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and every sickness. So the people were compassionate. When he seen the people, you know, they were worn out. He said that they were like sheep without a shepherd. So they were hurt and worn out. You know, them were the most faithful people. They want something. The people that are struggling and suffering and hurting, man, they're waiting for a hero. They're waiting for somebody to come save them. They're always in hope, looking, hopefully, that something's going to happen, you know. And so he says here, there's like a sheep looking for a shepherd. So they wanted a healing. They believed that he could heal, and they were happy to see him. So he could heal them, you know. So he healed all of them. He healed all of them, but you know, everybody's not convinced of that. And that's why no one's getting healed. That's why we're just going through this cycle. I haven't seen no big, huge breakthroughs, you know, in the last 10 years. I haven't seen nobody get just healed, and just the whole town come together. That's what it should be like. When Jesus was doing this, man, people were talking about him. People were saying, man, this dude, he's on to something. He was healing multitudes. Things were happening. You know, but everybody is not convinced of this for some reason. There's three type of people. You know, what I've discovered, there's three type of people. There's the type of people like me that get healed. You know, I've given my life to God, and I chased it down like I would anything else. Anything else that I believed in, I chased him down. I found him. Now I'm talking about it. But then you got the person that don't believe, or they just don't want a healing. You know, they just don't. And you don't know why they don't want a healing. It's several reasons. I mean, if you could get in their head, you'd realize they don't want to heal. They don't want to get their disability cut off and explain it to the doctor. You know what I mean? Just crazy stuff. They believe that it's their lot in life. You know what I mean? They believe that that's their will, or that's God's will, is to heal, is to have them sick like that. Then you got another person that's believing for a healing, but it never happens. You know, and they're wondering why. Why is this person getting healed and I'm not? You know, so they just adjust to it and don't understand why they're not getting healed. But my goal tonight is to teach you how to receive a healing, whether it be through somebody that has a healing anointing or whether you do it at your house. You know, you can do it yourself as long as you believe. So turn with me to Mark 6, 1 through 6. So this is what blew my mind. This little verse here is what really shocked me. And, you know, it's how, if these people couldn't believe, you know, there's a lot of people around here that aren't believing. He went away from there and came to his hometown. So Jesus went away from there. He come to his hometown. He had his disciples with him. So he's got 12 disciples with him in his hometown. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. So these are the people that he grew up with. They're astonished. They hear him teaching, and they're astonished. When this man, they say, "Where did this man get these things?" They said, "What is the wisdom given to him? And how are these miracles being performed by his hands? Isn't he the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And aren't them his sisters with us?" So they were all offended. They were offended. Somebody that they helped raise and grew up around, he's doing miracles. He's doing miracles and healing people, and breakthroughs are happening, and you got his family that is offended. The people that he grew up around are over here being offended. That's a simple-minded way to think. You know, I would be jumping on that. Hey, man, we're buddies. You about to hook me up. I would be on his tail. You ain't going nowhere without me. I'm fixing to jump in your back pocket, man. Remember what I done for you back in 1933? What, you remember I fed you, man. I'm fixing to bring up everything. My mama used to wash your dirty laundry. Then Jesus said to them this. He said, a prophet is without honor. A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his household. So he was not able to do any miracles. So that stopped him from doing anything. It says that he healed a few sick people, but he was unable to do any miracles. And he was amazed at their unbelief. So their unbelief stopped him from doing anything. That'd be a shame. That'd be a see everybody else around you and your nation getting healed, and you can't be healed. You know, a couple months after being offended, I'd have been trying to hunt him down. Hey, man, what happened? But, you know, people don't get healed for many reasons. You know, whether they got unforgiveness still in their heart, you know, jealousy, pride, just steadily living in their sin. You know, you got to be, when you believe, you're saying, I'm accepting a challenge. You know, I'm accepting this challenge. We're all in a race. Paul talks about it in Corinthians. You're saying, I accept a challenge to defend the gospel. You know, we're just not up here getting healed. That ain't how it works. You're fixing to work for God. You're fixing to do something for God. Being a son or a daughter for God, for the kingdom, you got to put in work. You have to work for him. You have to defend the gospel. You know, they knew Jesus was performing miracles and didn't believe. I'm getting off a little bit here. But it's more than a song. So I'm trying to say it's more than a song. Like that song we heard this morning that Kemper sung, it's more than just a song. It's a process. And I'm living it. I'm living it right now, that process. I'm living it. And so I'm being healed and I'm seeing God's grace in my life. But I'm telling you, from my life, I have to defend the gospel. I'm standing up here because I want it to continue to go. I want to see what God's got for me. And that's why I'm up here. I want to see what my calling is, what God's got for me. And there's a lot of things that try to come at me. Opinions, people I grew up with. There's things that I was, like if I told you my vision board, man, you guys would look at me and go, how you going to do that? That's never going to happen, man. You're out of your mind. That's why I'm not out here telling you. You know, I'm keeping it to myself. And when you see me, you know what I mean? I'll be throwing two fingers in the air sideways. But I'll tell you, God done that, you know, and this is what happened. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:24. It's a process. And that's why a lot of people don't understand it, because they don't ever hang around for the process. They come for a healing. They come for a blessing. A week into it, 2 weeks into it, they get burnt out. They still never went home and picked their Bible up and read. You know, you got to get into the Word and see what being a son or a daughter of God is. And then these things start revealing themselves to you because God lives inside you. So when you pick up that Bible, he knows immediately that you picked that Bible up. And if you're expecting a healing, they're going, hey, look, she's picking her Bible up. She's expecting a healing, so now she's showing me something. So let's go ahead and start that healing. Let's show her a few things over here so she'll continue to do what she's doing in life, and she'll stay on that pursuit of seeking me. So give her a little something because she's trying to show me something. You know, and that's when your healing begins to start. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians here, he says, to the weak I become weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I by every possible means might save some. Now I do all this, he said, I do all this because of the gospel so that I may become a partner in its benefits. The reason he's doing this because he wants to get what this Bible says he can have if he does it. Because he's got into the gospel. He knows what he's supposed to do. He's got to work, become an employee of God, a son or a daughter. You got to put it in. You got to advance the gospel. You got to go out there and talk about what God's doing in your life. You got to talk about Jesus. You know, there are all people bounded by diseases all over the world. You know, you've got people, dementia, bipolar, anxiety, PTSD, Parkinson's. You know, and you look those diseases up, and it'll tell you that they're either unknown or they're a nerve cell, something to do with the nerve cell being damaged, a nerve cell being damaged. And I think it's funny because Paul's talking about being challenged right here, being in a race, and, you know, they talk about it being a mental challenge. They say it's either a mental illness or a mental challenge. You know, when you're bound by something like Parkinson's, dementia, bipolar, anxiety, PTSD, they say you're mentally being challenged. They say mental illness, mentally challenged, or it's caused by a sick nerve cell or genetic. Another word for genetic is hereditary. You know, so maybe your mama was like that or your daddy was like that, so that's why you're like that. It's in your genetics or a nerve cell. So what's a challenge? What if I'm mentally challenged, then what's a challenge? A challenge is a call to take part in a contest, a call to take part in a competition. Or you look, it's got two definitions, and I think this is cool how you look up a word, and you got the definition that the world has, and then it's always got a number two. It's always a second definition. And the second definition for challenge is objection or a demand for the truth. Similar words are stand against, disagree with, test of. You know, and to a spiritual man, to a son of God, to me that says stand against what they're saying about me. You speak something over me. When the doctor tried to speak PTSD over me, I told him I'm not in agreement with you on that. You know? I'm not in agreement with you on that. When a psychiatrist would see me, she said, look, she said, you might not want to drive. She said, you know, you're going to, you won't be good on the road, so let somebody else drive. They tried to put me on medication, a Paxil, Zoloft. You know, they said I couldn't go around a bonfire. They said the fire would trigger some things. You know, I said, I'm not going to believe in that. I said, I believe that, you know, I watched my brother. I watched him die. And, man, I know what the business was. I prayed over him. You know, I told God, I got on my knees, wrapped him up. I told God, I said, open the doors to heaven and accept him. You know, I said, man, that's what it is. I said, we're all going there. I said, I'm not messed up. I ain't got PTSD or some kind of mental challenge because somebody died. I said, so I'm not going to allow you to speak that over me. You know, because words are powerful, way more powerful than you think they are. But, you know, you've got to have the courage to be able to tell somebody. You've got to be able to stop them in their tracks. You got to be able to tell them, hey, man, you know, you ain't going to say that over me. I'm not going to say it as nice as you want, but you ain't going to say that over me. You know, even with the nerves, I went a step further, you know, and I looked up what a nerve was because it said that it's a nerve cell damaged. You know, when you look up the definition for a nerve cell damage, yeah, you got the white fiber as a bundle of whitish fiber or bundle of fibers that transmits impulse or sensation to the brain. So you're telling me, you know what a fiber is? A little dust particle, a little fiber in the air? So you're telling me that you've been bound up all these years with Parkinson's or dementia? You ain't been able to get out the house because you got a little fiber in your nerve messing with you? Come on, man. You got to do something about that. Go do some push-ups. You got to go run on a treadmill. You got to get it stirred up. You know, and then I look up the second one. The second, it's always got that second definition that's spiritual. It's spiritual to me because it's always on point with the Word of God. The second one for nerve was a person's steadiness, courage, a sense of purpose. When facing a demanding situation, an amazing journey that tests your nerves to the full. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, yeah, that's a test for sure, but if you stand against that, then it's got to go. You know, the same power that created us, the same power that operates through us, but you got to believe in it, though. You got to believe in it. Okay, here's a good example. You ever felt if you had something on your chest you wanted to say to somebody, they've been aggravating you and you've been thinking about it at the house, you've been planning this out, and then you finally got to say it to them. You know that satisfaction you get when you say it? You feel good, man. It makes you feel good. Yeah, I told them off. You know what I mean? I bet they don't do that no more. You know what I mean? I really got them. Or if I give you a Like if I see you in town, I say, hey, man, you look good. You're doing your thing. You look slick. Give somebody a compliment, and you see the smile on their face. It makes you feel satisfied. Turn with me to Proverbs 18. That's power in your words. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, it don't get more real than that. That's the power in your words. Verses 20 through 21. I mean, this is the gospel truth. This is how we were created and how we're going to leave. We need to live by this, man. We can succeed. We can do things with this, but you got to get real with it. It says in verse 20, it says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is satisfied. He is filled with the product of his lips. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And that's powerful. That's King Solomon, man. He's one of the wisest men to ever live. You know what I mean? He's speaking out of a practical. He lived that. He used to speak things into existence. People used to come from all around to hear him talk because he was wise. You know, but we don't want to get confrontational with people. I get that. We don't want to tell somebody off, whether they're friends or family or whatever. Just we don't know them. But if they say something to us, we got to say it in the nicest way. Hey, look, man, I love you. We're good and everything, but you can't be. I'm not believing like that. You can't speak that over my life. Me and my family, we're about to do our thing. We're believing for better. You know, I'm living in this trailer now, baby, but I got a mansion in here. You know, and that's what I'm believing for. You ain't going to tell me I'm going to be here for life. You just ain't going to do it. You know, and if you continue to, you're going to have to move around. You know, you got to get in that. You got to get that in your mindset, because I've been in situations. It's easier to say, but when you go to talking to somebody and you got that energy in the same room, and the way that they slide one in on you, you know, you don't want to throw them off, especially if they've got a little bit of authority or something too. But you just got to say it in a way. God will help you when you take that stand. He'll help you. You know, He'll help you. You got to let them know, because they're speaking about your life. They're putting that steering wheel in your back, and they're driving you somewhere, and you got to pump the brakes. You got to be so convinced. You got to be so convinced, though, to do this, guys, to catch them and pull them, to jerk their chain. As soon as you got to be so convinced that the Word of God is true, that you're looking for it. You're steadily on it. You're meditating on it day and night. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, because the world will train you. The world does train us every day to live in unbelief. You know, if you have somebody out preaching the gospel or somebody out encouraging people, that's random. You see that and you're going, oh, what are you doing? And then you get these looks, you know, but you've got to stay in the church, stay in faith, stay with your family and stay encouraging each other. Stay and encourage each other. And you can't let people speak over your life like that. You know, you can tell them, like I said, you can tell them the way that you want to tell them. You do how you want to do it. But, you know, the way that I've learned that it works is, you know, stay in the gospel, stay in the word, and defend the word. If you're looking for a healing and you haven't received one yet, you haven't received one and you're wondering why you haven't received a healing, the first thing that I would tell somebody, you know, is, because it is hard. It's hard to believe in something that you don't see, and then it's hard to believe for a healing from something you don't see. You got me believing in a God that I don't see. Now you're telling me to believe Him for something? You know, so that's hard. But the first steps is just staying in the gospel. Make it an appointment every day to read the Word and not just scatter it around, one here and one here. Get into the Scripture. Get to know the character. Read the story. Get to know His story. See where He come from. And God, you can never count God out. He's lining it up. As soon as you mentally make that thought in your mind, your life is predestined. So as soon as you make that decision, He's already telling you what He knows, what Scripture, where you're going to be tomorrow. If you'll just pick the Bible up and make it a consistent thing, everything else will start working out for you. But you can't sometimes Him. You can't sometimes Him, or He's not going to fool with you. He just don't do that. He's got things to do too. You know what I mean? He just ain't going to fool with you. But if you keep it real with Him, you will get your healing. You'll get more than your healing. You know, you'll get so much that He's got to train you to receive the blessing. He'll change your whole life, man. The fire will be so big in you, they got to call the fire truck. You know what I mean? But God's good, and He loves His children. He loves all of us. And But if I could wrap it all up, man, I would say turn to James. Turn to James chapter 1, 5 through 8, verses 5 through 8. Because this is it. I mean, this is the message all in a nutshell, just right here. This is it from... Now, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it to all generously and without criticizing. And it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith. Believe that you're going to receive it, in other words, without doubting. See, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. You know, and that's what it is in a nutshell, guys. God's good, and if you want to be healed, you got to get real with him. You know? But if anybody wants prayer, I'm going to shift the message to prayer, try to get our hearts in that right spot. If anybody searches their heart tonight, you know, and they need anything, whether it's a healing or whether it's financial blessing or whether it's your bones are hurting, whether it's, I believe that God is going to, you know, it's taking me a little bit of time to get used to this. This is my fourth sermon, so I'm still a little nervous. My mouth is dry and things like that, but I'm going to get it. But I believe in all my heart that God's calling me to be in the healing ministry. It's in me, guys. There's things that goes on with me and God's relationship that is mind-blowing that I couldn't even explain it to you. I got to write it in a book and call it The Victor. You know what I mean? Because God's so good, man. God's so good. But it happens right there in the house. And I know that it's not happening for no reason. It's happened because he says, man, I've got to get you ready to believe in yourself that you can do these things before I get you out here and get you healing people. I told him, I said, come on with it. I said, I'll get up out of boldness every time. I'll do whatever you call me to do. So, you know, it's going to get better. Continue to come and support me. But if anybody needs healing, just, you know, take a minute and just think about it. Do you need healing? Search your heart and see if you believe tonight. You think that God can heal you? Do you believe Jesus was healing people that night or that day? Do you believe that Jesus was going through the towns healing people? You know, you got to think about that. Do you have any issues that you need from God? Do you need healed? Take a minute and think about it, guys, and because he's good to us. And he'll give you, he's our Father. You know, in Psalms 103, it says he wants to heal you. You know, he wants to bring your youth back to you. He wants to restore your youth like an eagle. He wants to give you health, free you from everything that's stressing you, all your anxiety, whatever's bothering you in life. You know, he wants to heal you, make you whole. And if you believe that tonight, I'm going to say a prayer for whoever comes up here. Whatever it is, but you got to step out in boldness, man. You can't let God, or you can't let a thought, you can't let something or what somebody else thinks about you stop you from receiving your healing. And that's what the message is all about. You know, I got up here, even though, man, I expect and I know that God's going to use me and I'm going to be a little more confident in the future, but I'm still up here doing my thing because I know God is real on everything he says, and he's going to stand 100% on his word. And if you come up here believing tonight that God's going to heal you, know in your heart what it is before you come up here. Know in your mind and begin to call out in the spirit. In your mind, tell God what it is. What do you want from God? Picture it already done. You know, get real with him, because that's how it goes. You got to get just real with God. Picture what it's going to look like when it's better. Picture what it's going to look like when it's better. And don't picture nothing else for the rest of your life. That's believing that it's already done. You got to get so convinced, man, that every man in every situation is a liar. You can't believe nothing the media says, nothing your buddy says, nothing your daddy says if it don't match up with the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? Don't matter what the lawyer, the doctor, the banker says. You know what I mean? You got to stand solid on God's Word. That's the, and what's cool about it, he'll let you know that. The more that you continue to seek him, he'll let you know that. He'll give you something to hold on to. You know, so, how you doing, Jill?